Testament, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. This is one of the six visions that Ezekiel the prophet had. Ezekiel's entire ministry was one of visions from God. And the very first book, and the first chapter, the first verse of Ezekiel, Ezekiel says, "The heavens were opened, and I saw visions from God." And throughout the book of Ezekiel, he had six major visions, and they were all, for the most part, visions of the future for Israel and for the people of God, what God was going to do, what God's purpose was for Israel. But let's read here in chapter 47 of Ezekiel. "Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through waters, the waters were to the ankles. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters were to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, the waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed." Now, a corresponding New Testament passage is in John chapter 7 that goes right along with this amazing picture that Ezekiel painted of a mighty river that was going to be poured out, that was going to flow out. And in John 7, 37, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given.'" So this was the Feast of Tabernacles, which was an 8-day feast. This was the last day of that great feast. And Jesus stood up to speak there after he had witnessed the priest going and getting water from the pool of Siloam and bringing and pouring it on the altar. Jewish historians say that that was one of the greatest days of rejoicing every year, when that water was poured out on the altar at the end of the Feast of the Tabernacles. There was rejoicing, there was joy, and everyone was full of joy. Isaiah 12 and 3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." So all of these verses are describing Ezekiel's prophecy was a prophecy of a river that was flowing out from under the temple, the tabernacle. And he was prophesying about the future. And we know that now we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the river that is flowing is the river of the Spirit of God that is to be flowing out of the temple, flowing out of the temple. You and I are to be the vessel that the Spirit of God is flowing out of. Now, they would celebrate this every year at the Feast of Tabernacles. They would celebrate it, and they had a big time of rejoicing and joy and celebration. And then they would all go home and back to their troubles, back to their sorrows, back to their problems, and it was short-lived. But Jesus, when he stood up to speak, he said, no, there's going to be a water, there's going to be a river that's going to flow out of you from your innermost being. And that river is going to flow out, and he was speaking of, it says in John 7:39, this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So this was an Ezekiel's prophecy, and the words spoken by Jesus at the Feast of the Tabernacle was all a reminder to us that God wants to overflow in our lives with the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And that's what revival can be for every one of us. Amen. We just came from a few days out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which is one of the most dry and arid areas of our country. By comparison, the average rainfall in the state of Kentucky every year, average, is 86 inches. The average rainfall in Albuquerque, New Mexico every year is 8.5 inches. It is so dry out there that the entire time we're there, we're trying to find water to drink. We're thirsty all the time. And our throats are dry. We have headaches from the dry climate. Our grandson, while we were there, he has trouble with nosebleeds. Asher has nosebleeds all the time. And it's because of the dry climate. And he was fighting a nosebleed one of the days that we were out there because of the terrible dry climate that is there. An interesting thing, though, is Albuquerque is a city of 600,000 people. If it's so dry, where does the water come from? How is there a water supply for that big of a population? So I got to looking into that, and there is the major water supply for the city of Albuquerque is an aquifer, which is an underground water source that has been described as the underground Lake Superior. While there's no water, no rainfall, there is an unseen source from the depths underneath that is like a Lake Superior that provides an abundant water supply for 600,000 people. And when I read that, I just thought, isn't that just like the provision of the Lord for the people of God? Amen. I mean, we may be living, and we're living in a very dry spiritual time right now as far as our world is concerned. It's a very dry spiritual time, but there is a deep source. There is a hidden source, a mysterious source that is provided for us by the power of the Spirit of God, and we need to allow the Lord and pray, God, send the flow, the overflow of the Spirit of God to us and supply for us a mysterious flow of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. Too often people say, well, these are not like the good old days. There used to be days of great revivals and great outpourings of the Spirit of God. People are too carnal. People are too dry, too disinterested in spiritual things now. We're just not going to see it. Well, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to believe that. I believe that Ezekiel's prophecy was a prophecy related to later times for Israel and even times that we can relate to our own circumstances right now. And John chapter 7, where Jesus said that out of your innermost being, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And he was talking about the outpouring of the Pentecostal experience. Amen. The outpouring of this great river of the Spirit of God. And notice that it was a flow that was kind of a progression. And I want to encourage you, because sometimes we think, Lord, I felt your presence, I felt your Spirit, but I'm not really feeling like it's any great overflowing revival experience. I do sense your presence and your Spirit from time to time. But notice that this this experience that he saw in this vision, it was first of all waters just to the ankles. It was just waters to wade in. It wasn't deep at all, but it affected their walk, and it ought to affect our walk. So you may not feel like I'm experiencing a great outpouring of revival in my heart, but whatever sense of the presence of God and the Spirit of God that you're feeling, it's going to have an effect upon you. But it's progressive. Just move forward in what God has for us. Then it was up to the knees. In verse number 4, it measured again. It was up to the knees. Amen. And move with the Spirit that affects your prayer life. And then measuring again up to the loins. The loins, that was the area of your strength and your stamina. And so the ability to do something for God, to work for God, comes by the power of the Spirit of God. First ankle deep, just keep moving forward. Then knee deep, keep moving forward. Then to your loins, and then eventually, this was a progressive move of God. And I just encourage you as we move into these services. A lot of times, the first service in a revival meeting, it's like, oh, we're getting used to the preacher. We're getting used to being in a meeting like that. But this is an opportunity to move forward. Take some steps forward. Move into what God has for you. And enter in to the wonderful things that God has for us. And eventually, it will be waters to swim in. Amen. Waters to swim in. Waters overwhelming. Amen. That come to us. And then I didn't read all of this text from Ezekiel, but where did that river flow to? Where did it flow to? Notice in verse number 7, it says, "Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and on the other." Remember, this is a wilderness. This is water flowing into a wilderness, but there are trees there. Wherever the river flows, there is life. Verse 8, "These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live." Amen. This river is a life-giving river. Amen. This overflow of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives and in our church, it's a progressive thing. You just move into it and you just keep pressing forward and believing God and everywhere you go. And as you're moving forward, it produces life. Yeah, it flows right. It says it flows right into the desert and produces life in a barren place. Praise God. Amen. That is the promise of God. It says where that is a place of desert, where it's a place of death, but the water just flows in, and wherever it flows, there is life. It is a life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's all about revival. Amen. Amen. We can be a church that's just going along in our routine, or we can be a church that's depending on God to pour His Spirit out, and that the river of His Spirit is flowing and moving in our lives, in our meetings, our services, and that everywhere the Spirit of God flows, there is life. Amen. Praise God. Even to the point that there's trees that are growing in the desert. Amen. Notice verse 9. "Shall come to pass that everything that liveth and which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish." When I read that, I thought, okay, there's fish. And we know that we're called to be fishers of men. So wherever the river flows, there's going to be fish. There's going to be those that are going to be born into the kingdom of God. We are called to be fishers of men, but it requires the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and in our church to see souls brought in to the kingdom of God. It is only by the Holy Spirit that this is accomplished. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Negeb. They shall be a place to spread forth nets, and their fish shall be according to their kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Where is it flowing from? Out of that river that flowed out of the threshold of the temple, out of your heart and my heart. And as this river flows out, it becomes an exceeding great river. Praise God. That is the plan of God for revival and an outpouring of the Spirit of God. I was raised up, as you know, near Tulsa, Oklahoma. There is a river that passes about 1 mile from where I was raised up called the Arkansas River. I don't know how wide it is, but most of the time it's probably 40, 50, 60 feet wide. Pretty much all the time, unless it's a real dry season, it's a pretty wide river. It starts up in Colorado, up at the base of the Rocky Mountains. That river starts, and in the dry seasons up there, it's so narrow that you can jump across the Arkansas River in the dry seasons. But it, as it flows from down from Colorado through Kansas into Oklahoma, it gets wider and wider and wider. It goes down into the state of Arkansas, and way down in the southeast corner of Arkansas, it pours into the mighty Mississippi. And let me tell you, it's big then. That is a wonderful picture of the flowing of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. Don't ever minimize even the smallest things that God is doing in your life. It may be small, it may seem insignificant, but this is a flow that's progressive. It's growing. It can grow. It can become bigger and greater and mightier as it flows, as we trust God to move by His Spirit. Amen. And to do some wonderful and mighty things. Verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on the side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Praise God. Amen. What an amazing picture of revival that brings forth fruit in the lives of believers. Everywhere it flows, it brings life, and it brings fruit. And God blesses your life and the work of the ministry of the church as the Spirit of God is being poured out. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're believing for. And I encourage you this week, little by little, just believe that God can work even in the smallest ways. And when He does, have faith and expectation that it's going to grow. It's going to get bigger. God is going to do more, and there's going to be fruit, and there are going to be fish caught. Amen. There are going to be lives changed, because everywhere it flows, there is life. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. A reminder to us, Lord, that it is your plan, Lord, to pour out your Spirit upon your people. We pray, Lord, that this week, you will move in such mighty and supernatural ways, Lord, that it will be obvious to us all that you are working, that you are moving, Lord, in mighty and powerful ways. We believe, God, that you're at work. Lord, and I just pray that our faith would be strengthened, increased, to believe you, Lord, for great and mighty things in revival this week. Amen. Could we stand together? Amen. And before we leave,